So, as I've said before, today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Narsingadev, and it's also the auspicious disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. So we celebrate both of them. Especially, we're looking forward to the disappearance of Hiranyakashipu, which will be in around 45 minutes. So Hiranyakashipu represents, Haranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. So these are the things that Lord Narsingadev comes and tries to eliminate the desire within our heart for wealth and for sense gratification. In Kali Yuga, there is no Dharma. In other words, people have no purpose in life. And because they have no purpose in life, they have no mission other than to gratify their senses. And their vision is that in the future, they're going to create a society where there'll be unlimited sense gratification. Now, I can remember many things. Unfortunately, I can remember things I shouldn't be remembering, but I'll mention one of them. To dovetail in Krishna's service, I remember watching a James Bond movie. And in that movie, there was James Bond with his girlfriend. Doesn't get any worse than that, though. And they're lying in the bed, the alarm clock goes off, and the bed tilts up. The bed goes up, and then they slide off the bed into a swimming pool. Because they're too lazy even to get up. The idea is that you don't do anything, you just sit there and everything is done for you. So they slide into the swimming pool and then there's this churning thing, and then they go over these towels and they dry them off, etc. And then the breakfast is served, etc. Someone comes out and brushes their teeth. So this is the materialistic idea, what the future is, the vision. And the materialists are very interested in communicating this vision everywhere, that internationally. Probably everyone, if you show them a picture of Mickey Mouse in the most darkest regions of Africa, they say, oh, that's Mickey Mouse. Where's Minnie Mouse? So they've communicated very effectively their mission to distribute unlimited sense gratification all over the world. And they've organized very nicely for that. The whole society, all the resources are all meant for sense gratification. So what has been the result? We're living in the most complicated society that ever existed. So has that benefited anyone? No, it's reduced everyone's lifespan greatly. In most places, except for Ljubljana, of course, if you breathe the air, it's killing you. If you drink the water, it's also killing you. If you eat the food, then you're finished. The food has insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, and people sides, all meant to make sure that we leave this planet as quickly as possible so that we don't breathe the other people's air. So modern society, although it advertises itself quite effectively, is very advanced, but the whole thing is completely complicated, needlessly. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anad bhavati bhutani, Parjana ana sambhava, jagna bhavati parjanyo, jagna karma samudbhava. That all living entities subsist on food grains. For those who are fasting, you can appreciate that today. Sometimes people forget that there's such a thing as fasting. It was something that the primitive people did. When they couldn't hunt down the animals, they had to fast for a day. How barbaric. So actually, our real necessity is not cars and computers and video games. Our real necessity is food, anna. And anna comes from rain. And rain comes from sacrifice. But if we tell people that all of Andes subsists on food grains, that they'll accept. And they might even accept that it comes from rain, that we need some rain. But when we say it comes from sacrifice, that's too far out. People have become so divorced that they think everything is going on by accident. They can't see any personality behind things. Therefore, the universe is actually the history not of one war or this war, Slovenia, there is a peasant revolt, and then Slovenia is free for a couple of months, and then there another people come and take it over. There's another peasant revolt, and they're free for another couple of months. Then someone else takes it over. The history of Slovenia. Actually, the real history is the fight between the demons, the asuras and the suras, the demigods and the demons. This is going on since time immemorial. That's the real fight. Between those who accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and follow his instructions, and those who don't follow his instructions, and they're more or less fighting or stealing from Krishna, fighting against Krishna, or stealing from him, but definitely they're always fighting with Krishna's devotees. Therefore, the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of the demons against the devotees. And sometimes the demons win, and sometimes the devotees win. But ultimately, the devotees always come out victorious because of Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life, he was a demon. And then he got into a fight with his girlfriend right next to a Nrisimhadev temple. And because of the fight, he fasted that night on Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day. And because of that, he got the benediction in his next lifetime. He was the son of Hiranyakashipu, a demon. But he heard from Narada Muni within the womb. And of course, as we probably know, Prahlad Maharaj's birth was an ordinary birth, because here's a demon who is actually in Krishna consciousness when he conceived Prahlad Maharaj. As we know, Hiranyakashipu, his whole objective, his whole vision, mission life was the same as ours. Although sometimes we say, you know, Lord Nrisimhadev ki jai, and then someone else says, Hiranyakashipu, boo. But actually, Hiranyakashipu, there's a little Hiranyakashipu within everyone's heart. We're also in the disciple succession from Prahlad and from Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to rule over the universe, and we want to just rule over our house. The quality is the same. Brahma is in charge of the universe. We're in charge of our house, and the mouse in our house is in charge of the hole in our house. But we all have the same mentality. I'm going to live here forever and enjoy. Brahma has his Saraswati, we have our husband or wife, and the mouse has this beautiful little mouse, lady mouse, with a beautiful fluffy tail. So everyone has the same idea in this world. I'm going to accumulate either cheese or prasadam or some heavenly food stuff and enjoy. So that was Hiranyakashipu, but he had a big plan. He was going to live forever. We have the same plan, but we're not very good at it. We only have that in our imagination. But he had a plan. He was going to go all out to live forever, not just put on some lipstick or some facial cream. do a little yoga, take his vitamin, and live forever. Now he went out and he raised his hands and stood on his tiptoes for 120 years of the demigods. But before he did that, he did a little run. He went out and he started to do his austerity to take over the universe. But the demigods heard about it, and therefore they all went to Lord Brahma and said, what should we do? So Narada Muni was there at the council. He said, I got an idea. Myself and my associate, Parvati Muni, we're going to go there in the form of sparrows and take care of this for you. So Hiranyakashipu put up his arms, and he was I'm going to be immortal, he was thinking. And he was standing there, and Narada Muni with Parvati in the form of sparrows came, and at the top of their voice started to chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Hiranyakashipu said, what? Who's chanting? And then he saw these two little birds, and he took a rock and threw it at them. Get out of here, you rascals. Because Hiranyakashipu's brother had been killed by Lord Vishnu, and the thing that he didn't like to hear was the name of God. So the birds flew away. Then they came back later, when Hiranyakashipu was still, his arms upraised, I will become immortal. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this went on the whole afternoon, and Hiranyakashipu was completely distraught. He couldn't concentrate. All he could hear within his mind was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's the advantage of fasting. You get a clearer mind. Even Hiranyakashipu's mind became clear when he was fasting. And he heard again and again and again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he said, it's a bad day. I think I'll go home and relax. I'll come back tomorrow and do my austerity for 120 years of the demigods. So he went back home, and his mind just, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He couldn't stop hearing that name. Vasudeva. No, I get it. So then he decided to have some enjoyment with his wife that night. And while he was enjoying with his wife, in his mind was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he was in Krishna consciousness when he conceived Prahlad Maharaj. So that's why Prahlad Maharaj was born of a demon, but he was a devotee. And then when Narada Muni took his wife away, when the demigods wanted to kill, when Hiranyakashipu, finally after that he went out and he did his austerity for 120 years, and then the demigods attacked the demon's kingdom, defeated the kingdom, the demons, and then came to the palace of Kayadu. And there they found Hiranyakashipu's wife was pregnant, and they decided to take her away and kill the demon within her womb. But Narada Muni showed up and said, no, you can't kill this lady. Within her womb is a great devotee of the Lord. And even if you tried to kill him, he couldn't do that. Krishna would protect him. So the demigods circumambulated Hiranyakashipu's wife. And Narada Muni took her to the ashram and started to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam to her. Transcendental instructions. So within the womb, Prahlad Maharaj listened very attentively to the instructions, and his wife also, his mother also heard the instructions, but she forgot all about them because she was really mostly worried about her husband when he's coming back home. So then when Prahlad was born, he had received instructions for 9 months from, and he had nothing else to do. There was no computer game. He had no friends to play with. He had nothing to do but to listen. And therefore he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He was a pure devotee at his birth, although when he was conceived, he was not completely pure. But after Narada Muni's instructions, then he became a sadhana siddha. So then, of course, as we know, he grew up. When he was 5 years old, he was sent to school. typical school, modern day school, where they teach all the modern day subject matters, politics, diplomacy, sense gratification, video games, everything was at the school. Sundown Amarka was his teacher, first class demons, learned demons, so they were convincing. So Prahlad Maharaj listened to their foolish instructions while he was meditating on Krishna, didn't affect him at the least, and finally Hiranyakashipu called for Prahlad Maharaj and asked him, "My dear Prahlad Maharaj, tell me, what is the best thing you've learned in school?" So Prahlad Maharaj said, "Tatsaro manye suryavarya deinam sadasam udvignat diyama satkrahat hedvatma patam griham andukupam gatovanam yadari ashriyeta." My dear father, best of the demons, the best thing I've learned in school is that you're a number one fool. So his father was a little taken back. "What do you mean? What do you mean I'm a fool?" He said, "Actually, you're a fool because you're absorbed in anxiety. Anyone who's, all his activities, all they're doing is producing anxiety, must be a fool." So Prahlad Maharaj was giving instruction to the modern society. This is modern societies consist of all people who are tied for the first place for being number one fools. All their activities for happiness are simply producing more problems, more anxiety. All these factories, all these machines they're creating, all these oil rigs that they're drilling into the earth with, simply to get some food. Well, until if they had any brains, then all they could do, all they would have to do is go outside and throw a few seeds into the ground after they took, and then wait for the seeds to grow, water them if the rain comes, that's fine. And then just take the fresh food and prepare it nicely and one will be healthy. That's the whole thing. There's nothing more we really need. But instead of that, they've created all these factories, and all these cars and trucks and stores and all kinds of things, military armies, all these different weapons, just to get a little food. So therefore they're all fools. So Prahlad Maharaj, he said, "Because you're a fool, because you're anxiety." Now, even if there was no such thing as spiritual life, that why create unnecessary suffering? Who wakes up in the morning and takes a shoe and beats their head with it? Someone goes to the doctor and says, "My dear doctor, I always have a headache." So the doctor says, "Well, what do you do? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is beat my head with a shoe, because that's what my father always did. He hit my head with a shoe, so I just continue on with the tradition." So the doctor says, "Well, can you consider maybe you shouldn't hit your head with a shoe? Maybe your headache will get better." "No, no, that's my tradition. That's what I follow." So we've been brought up in a society, we become convinced that the only way to survive is to get a job and work from 9 to 5, get a paycheck, and then go to the store and try to buy something to eat. So tatsaru manye varya vaya suri tatsaru manye suri varya deinam sadasam udvigni diyama satkraha. So you're a fool because you're in anxiety, and there's no reason to be in anxiety. People could actually plan their lives so they'll be less and less in anxiety if they wanted to. But they're not interested in doing that. They're convinced that that is normal, to be fearful, to be anxiety, to be lusty, to be greedy, etc., etc., to be completely in ignorance. So what is Prahlad Maharaj's advice? Tatsaru manye suryavarya deinam sadasu sumig sadasu mudvigna diyama satgrahat. Tatsa hitvatma hitam griham andukupam. Give up this well that you've dug for yourself and go to Vrindavan. And there take shelter of Vrindavan forest and live there happily and peacefully in Krishna consciousness. So of course Haranyakashipu became completely disturbed when he heard this. This is exactly the opposite of his mission in life. This is not what he wanted. He wanted more sense gratification. He wanted more control. As a matter of fact, he wanted to find Krishna and destroy him. And here is his enemy in the form of his own son. So of course we know Haranyakashipu tried to get Prahlad instructed by Sundar and Amarka again. And then he asked Prahlad again after some time that, can you tell me again what you've learned in school? Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The best thing I've learned in school is we should hear and chant about Vishnu. So this was too much for Haranyakashipu, and he threw him. Actually, before he did that, Prahlad Maharaj said, Haranyakashipu is becoming more and more disturbed. And he said, Prahlad, where have you gotten this knowledge from? Because Sunda and Amarka said, we have nothing to do with this, Haranyakashipu. We're innocent. We never taught him anything like this. And no Vaishnava has ever been allowed to come to our school. We have a big sign on our door, Vaishnavas keep out. We bite. So no Vaishnava has ever come to school, even secretly, and we've never taught him anything about spiritual life. It just was come naturally. So Haranyakashipu was inquisitive from Prahlad. Just like I said, my mother, she never wanted to hear about Krishna. She had actually gone down to the temple to find out at the beginning what Krishna consciousness was all about, and my father, but then when they found out, they never wanted to hear anything about Krishna again. So I would always visit my mother once, twice a year or more. And one day my mother turned to me and said, what is Krishna consciousness all about? And she said, wait, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. So Prahlad Maharaj, his father said, where did you get this knowledge from, Prahlad? Because he was afraid that maybe he'd get affected by it also. So Prahlad Maharaj said, relax, don't worry, you're a demon. You're a permanent demon. You're a permanently qualified demon. This knowledge will not affect you in the least. Matirana Krishna parataksatova mito bipadyeta griha vratanam adanta govira vishatam tamizram punak punak charavita charavananam. Matirana Krishna, people don't want to hear about Krishna. Just like sometimes we go in Harinam, maybe not here in Ljubljana, but in some place, as soon as they hear the Harinam, they put their hands over their ears so they can't hear. You can curse them, you could say all insults, but they don't get affected. Hare Krishna, oh my God! The disease is entering my ears. My hair will fall out and I'll be dressed in bed sheets soon. So Prahlad Maharaj said, don't worry, Dad, you'll never get affected by that. Either by people talking to you about it, or by hearing it in a conference, or by self-study. You'll never become affected. Why? Adanta gabhira vishitam tamizram. Because you made the goal in life is to enjoy your senses and go to hell. That's your goal. And you'll never give it up. Even though punak punas charvanam charvananam, although you're just chewing the same thing over and over again, you'll never stop chewing. Dittevidu swartikitim hi Vishnu. Because you don't want to have anything to do with Vishnu, therefore dirashaya ye bahir artamanina. Therefore you've taken things which are insignificant as your goal of life. Andaya Tandira Bhigimanash Tepisha Tantra Uru Dami Bhara. Because you're blind and you're following other blind people. Therefore your result will be that you'll probably get a stomachache pretty soon. You'll probably fall into a ditch. So then Hiranyakashipu said, well, where do you learn from? Where do you get this knowledge? So Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham Matis Tavadurukramangrim Sprichar Inarta Bhagavo Inartam Mahiyasam Pararu Devis Vishekam Niskinchananam Nanavrita Yadvat. That one has to touch the lotus feet of a devotee who is a kinchananam, who is freed from all kinds of material desires and is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So only by getting the mercy of a devotee can actually one understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Can one give up this punat punas charvana charvana nam, this just chewing the chewed again and again. So by the mercy of Narada Muni, I'm able to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. So of course, Hiranyakashipu didn't believe him, and he said, you say your God is everywhere, but where is your God? Then you gotta work. You have to wake up in the morning to go to work. You have to pay for the rent. You have to pay for the food. Even if you make the food, you have to make the food yourself. You have to grow the food. You have to harvest the food. You got to do so many things. You have to have a bed in modern society. You have to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and there's so much psychological problems nowadays. Everyone is envious of each other. Everyone wants another one. As it says nowadays, romance begins with courting. In the English, it's called courting. And it usually ends up in court. So many problems in the human form of life. In the animal life, little problems like someone may come and eat you, but that's all right, you'll get another body. In any case, it's much more simple in the animal form of life. I never heard of a tiger brushing its teeth. We never saw a tiger with its teeth falling out. So it's a very nice thing. Their eyes are good, their teeth is good, everything is nice. But they still have to die, so it's inconvenient, but that's all right. It's for a sense gratification, they're doing quite well. Therefore, in the human form of life, Krishna is coming and killing everyone, Mrityu Sarvaharastraham, taking everything away. But then he's giving them their next desire. What they've actually concentrated on throughout the whole life, what they really want, that's what Krishna gives them in their next lifetime. Exactly an appropriate body to fulfill their desires. So is that bad? Actually, Krishna is just doing his service to everyone, fulfilling everyone's desire. If we become a mouse in our next lifetime, it's because we wanted to become a mouse. We worked hard to become a mouse. It's not easy to become a mouse. You have to work for it. You need all these scientific inventions. You need slaughterhouses. You need machinery. You need miseducation. You need so many sinful activities so you can qualify to become a mouse. But if one wants to become a devotee, then Lord Nrisimhadev comes and he protects the devotees, just like he treats them like his cubs and protects them from all these Hiranyakashipus. Both within our heart, this desire for material enjoyment, for conquering the universe and enjoying here unlimitedly, Lord Nrisimhadev cuts the ribbons, these desires, if we put them in our heart. And then he treats us like his dearmost cub. And therefore we're able to peacefully chant Hare Krishna and become qualified to go back to the spiritual world. So Lord Nrisimhadev is appearing when our movement was in trouble. in 1970, because in 1970, the devotees who joined the movement at that time were not very educated in any kind of spiritual life, or to speak of human life. They were not, we could say they were they were not very much conversant with any kind of spiritual or even moral activities. So therefore Prabhupada didn't have the most trained up devotees, but he was very patient. So in 1970, some of the devotees decided, because of being misled by some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, that Prabhupada was actually not bona fide, and they wanted to take the movement over, believe it or not. So Prabhupada called a meeting of his faithful disciples, and he brought them to L.A., and they formed the DBC. And then at that time, my temple president sent back a little piece of paper, and Prabhupada said, we should chant this after we do Arti, the Nrisimhadev prayers, for the protection of the movement. So that's why we're chanting the Nrisimhadev prayers, not only for our own protection, but for the protection of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supposed to, as we become purified, show an example of simple living and high thinking, Krishna conscious thinking, as opposed to this demoniac society, all based upon increasing material complexities. So as our movement, as it advances, as we become purified, then these things will actually manifest. Simple living and Krishna conscious thinking. So that we look forward to that. In the meantime, we do, as we dovetail our activities in Krishna's service, because we're living in a very complicated society, and we chant Hare Krishna and pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to gradually purify us of our material desires so we can become bona fide prahlads. Pra means intensifying. Pra and lada means bliss. So we, Lord Nrisimhadev can intensify our bliss and we can become qualified to actually realize what real life is like, Vrindavan life, where there's Chintamani, Shriyakanta Parama Parama Punusho Chintamani. So Shriyakanta Kanta Parama Taravo, that in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan and also in Vaikuntha, the ground is made out of Chintamani stone. The trees are desire-fulfilling trees. The air, when you breathe it, is blissful. Everyone is not only people are dancing, but they're dancing. Their walking is like our dancing. So if their walking is like our dancing, we can only imagine what their dancing is like. Their talking is like singing. So their talking is like singing, we can only imagine what their singing is like. So that's the world we originally come from, and that's the world that Lord Nrisimhadev, first of all, he has to come and purify us of our material desires. He has to enter into our hearts and take away our demoniac mentality so that Lord Krishna can come and sit there and play his flute. So we can come to the platform of Premanjana Charita Bhakti Lochanena. We can see within our heart the beautiful form of Krishna. But first, the smog, the clouds of material desire, the anarthas have to be cleared away. And those are cleared away, especially by Lord Nrisimhadev. So we have to become like Prahlad, pray for the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev, who can come and rip apart Hiranyakashipu in our heart and make our lives perfect again. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? So there's another 3 minutes before the appearance day, so please stay. Don't get close to the the pillar because he might appear any time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.